We read from John chapter 15 about Jesus being the vine and we're the branches. And he said, you need to abide in me. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Every Christian needs to realize that truth. Without him, we can do nothing. So I have a very simple one-point message tonight. Now, if you think we're going to get done any earlier, don't get your hopes up. I want to ask you tonight, where are you plugged in? Where are you plugged in? Where do you get your power? Where do you get what you need to keep going for God? Now, I'm going to use an illustration to make the point that you need to know where you're plugged in. This is a true story. I cannot remember where I heard it. It sounds like the story that my father-in-law used to tell. But I don't know if I can attribute it to him or not. But a man had a motor home, and he wanted to convert it to run on natural gas instead of gasoline. But the natural gas tank wouldn't fit where the gasoline tank was. But it would fit where the waste tank was. And so he just switched them around. He took the waste tank and put it where the gasoline tank was. And he took this natural gas tank and put it where the waste tank was. So he was on a trip. He pulled into a campground late at night. And because it was so late, he just pulled into the campsite and didn't hook anything up. Early the next morning, he thought he heard a noise. But he was real quiet and listened some more and didn't hear anything. So he got up the next morning, and first thing, his neighbor, the guy that was camped next to him, come over and knocked on the door and said, hey, I don't know if you know it or not, but early this morning, somebody tried to steal your gas. Wait till I get there, would you? Just wait till I get there. Don't laugh early. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, yeah, about 4:30 this morning, I was up getting a drink of water, and I looked out my window, and I saw this guy come with a hose and a gas can, and he stuck the hose down your gas tank and took a big suck, tried to get a siphon going, and the next thing I know, he just dropped his hose and dropped his can and ran away. Sure enough, the guy went out, and he looked where the gas tank usually is, but where now his waste tank was, and there was a hose stuck down there. There was a gas can sitting there, and there was, and I got to clean this up, there was some regurgitation on the ground. And he sort of followed the trail, and 8 or 9 feet, there was some more regurgitation on the ground. And he followed a little bit, and there was some more. And the point of that story is, if you're gonna steal gas, you better know what tank you're in. And if you're going to do something for God and keep doing something for God, you need to know where you're plugged in. And so here's my question. Do you know where you're plugged in? And I want to make it a little bit finer tonight as I get started. Are you plugged into people or are you plugged into God? Amen. Are you plugged into people or are you plugged into God? Now, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 13. And I'm going to read some scripture about a man who thought he was plugged into God, but he was really plugged in to man. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Verse 7, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou cometh into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Now, most of us know the story of Lot. Abraham, his uncle, said, the land can't handle all of our flock. God had blessed them both very much, and they had big herds. And their herd, the people that took care of their animals, were fighting with one another. They were trying to get the best grass for their master's animal. And Abram said to his nephew, said, it's not good that these people that live around us see us fuss. I mean, we're God's people, and they shouldn't see us fuss. And so we need to separate ourselves one from another. You pick what direction you want to go, and I'll go the other direction. Now, if Lot had been smart, he would have said, no, uncle, you're the oldest, you're the wisest, you pick, and then I'll go the other direction. But Lot wasn't wise. The Bible says he looked around. He looked in one direction, and it was well watered. In other words, it was a lush pasture land with plenty of water, very able to support his flocks. He looked in the other direction, and it was desert. Not much water, not much grass. Would have been hard to raise crops. And Lot said, well, I'll go over here where the grass is green. I'll go over here where there's plenty of water. Now, you know the story. In that direction was the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah, city whose name now represents the sin of homosexuality. And by the way, it's still a sin. The Bible says it's an abomination in God's sight. It's not an alternative lifestyle. People weren't created to be homosexuals. It's sin. It's a sin, and people choose to sin, and it's still an abomination before God. And so God came to Abram, and he said, look, I've seen what's going on in Sodom. I'm going to destroy the city. And Abram didn't tell God this. God already knew it, but Abram thought to himself, well, my nephew is now living in Sodom. And I don't have time to tell you how Lot bargained with God, but he got God to agree that if there were 10 righteous people in Sodom, that God agreed to spare the city. He said, if I find 10 righteous people in Sodom, I won't destroy it. Well, the angels went into Sodom. They could not find 10 righteous people. They came to Lot and said, God's going to destroy the city. You better get your family out. Now, most Bible scholars think that Lot had five daughters, in fact. Two of them unmarried, still living at home, and three married. And Lot went to his married daughters and to their husbands, gave the message that God gave him. God's going to destroy the city. We need to get out. The Bible says they laughed at him. And so the angels, again, you know the story, the angels took Lot by the hand, took his wife by the hand, took his two single daughters by the hand, and dragged them out of the city of Sodom so that God could destroy it. Again, Lot's wife looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. And so Lot and his two daughters went to live in the mountains. And again, you know the story, how Lot's fall into sin went deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. His daughters got their dad drunk. They both slept with him. He fathered children by both of his daughters. And if you look at Lot's life, we would say, man, what a wicked man. What a despicable person. And yet the Bible says that Lot was a just man. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, not just Lot, only Lot, but just in the eyes of God, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was righteous. He was just in God's sight. He was saved, if we put it in today's terminology. What happened to him? What happened to this man who one time walked with God, one time man blessed by God? What happened to him that caused him to go down, down, down into sin? That caused him to lose his connection with God, that caused him to lose the power that God gave him to live for him. You see, Lot had walked with God. He left Ur of the Chaldees when his uncle Abram did. He left the comfort of home, the only home he had known. He went to be a vagabond, to live in a tent, to look for a city he had never seen. He knew how to sacrifice to God. I mean, he knew the proper way to bring an animal and shed the animal's blood and offer that sacrifice to God. He knew how to approach God. He knew how to please God. And God blessed Lot. God blessed him. That's what got him in trouble in the first place. He had so many animals. And let me just read it. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. So Lot was blessed by God. What happened? What happened? Lot was plugged in to Abram instead of being plugged in to God. Lot walked with God because Lot walked with Abram, and Abram walked with God, and so Lot walked with God, not because he was plugged into God, but because he walked with his uncle. The Bible says in Amos 3:5 and other places, can two walk together except they be agreed? So Abram walked with God, the two of them agreed. Lot walked with Abram while they were together, so the two of them agreed. And so Lot walked with God as long as he walked with Abram. You see, Abram kept Lot straight. I'll just put it in today's terminology. He couldn't walk with Abram and read dirty magazines. He couldn't do that. He couldn't walk with Abraham and lose his temper and cuss. He couldn't do that. He couldn't walk with Abram and not read his Bible. He couldn't do that. He couldn't walk with Abram and not pray. He couldn't do that. He couldn't walk with Abram and skip church. As long as he was walking with Abram, Lot walked with God. But Lot was what you might call a parasite Christian. You remember your high school science class? You remember what a parasite is? A parasite is a bug that lives on another animal and gets what he needs from that animal. Lot was getting what he needed from God, but he was getting it through Abram. He wasn't getting it direct from God. And so when they had to split up, when they had to separate, Lot lost his connection with God. He lost the power to do what's right. He lost the power to discern what was right. He lost the power to make right decisions. He moved to Sodom. And the Bible says his righteous soul was vexed. And you read his story, and you see it's a story of descent into sin. He went down and down and down and down into sin. You look at his testimony at the end of his life. He was a disobedient, sinful Christian. A disobedient, not honoring God Christian. And so again, I ask you tonight, where are you plugged in at? Are you plugged into man? Are you plugged into God? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you come to church? Why do you witness? Why do you try to do what's right? Are you plugged into God and getting your motivation to do those things from Him who is the source of all power? From Him who said, without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me, you can do anything. Or are you plugged into other people living off of them? I've known Christians, godly people, live right, love the Bible, pray, come to church, witness. Some of them taught Sunday school. Some of them sung in the choir. But then their spouse dies. Their husband or their wife dies, and they quit it all. Why? Because they weren't plugged into God. They were plugged into their spouse. I've known young adults who, while they were at home, they came to church every service. They read their Bible. They tried to do what's right. But when they left home, they went into sin. Why? Because they weren't plugged into God. They were plugged into mom and dad. I've known Christians active in church, doing good, doing right, and their preacher messes up, and they drop out of everything. They just seems like they forget God. Why? Because they weren't plugged into God. They were plugged in to their preacher. Tonight, again, I ask you, where are you plugged in? Are you plugged into God or are you plugged into your spouse? Are you plugged into God? Are you plugged into your parents? Are you plugged into God or are you plugged into your preacher? It's wonderful to have a godly spouse. It's wonderful to have a godly parents. It's wonderful to have a godly preacher, but you cannot live off of their power. You cannot live off of their strength. You need to get your own. You need to make sure that you're a branch plugged into the vine of Jesus Christ, because you're not going to get the power from mom and dad. You're not going to get the power from your husband or wife. You're not going to get the power from your preacher. You're only going to get that power to live for God and do right from God. He's the only one that can give it. Don't believe it just because your husband does or your wife does. Don't believe it just because your mom and dad believe it. Don't believe it just because your preacher does. Believe this book because you've read about it, you've prayed about it, you've put it to the test, and you know from personal experience that God keeps every promise in His Word. Don't depend on mom and dad's experience. Don't depend on your spouse's experience. Don't depend on your preacher's experiences. You get some experiences from your own. God invites us to test Him, to try Him, to see that he will keep every promise that's in this book. So again, I ask you, where are you plugged in? Are you plugged into Him? He's the vine. We're the branches. Without Him, we can do nothing. Years ago, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, seagulls started dying by the thousands. By the thousands. The environmentalists, the animal worshipers, they all went wild. They said, somebody is killing the seagulls around our city. They took bodies of the seagulls. They did autopsies on those seagulls. No poison, no cancer. They couldn't find anything wrong with the seagulls except one thing. They were all dying of malnutrition. They weren't getting enough to eat. Now, that was a mystery, because if you know anything about seagulls, they'll eat anything. Doesn't matter if it's dead or alive. It doesn't matter if it's sweet or sour. It doesn't matter if it's stinky or rotten. A seagull will eat anything and everything. And the shoreline of Florida has plenty of things that seagulls can eat. And the other part of the mystery is, north of Fort Lauderdale, the seagulls were thriving. And south of Fort Lauderdale, the seagulls were thriving. Why, in this one particular area, were the seagulls dying? Then a native stepped forward and said, I know the answer. There used to be a shrimp plant here. The shrimp boats would bring their catch in, their shrimp, and give it to the factory, and they would go through and sort the shrimp they wanted, and they would throw the rest into the ocean. And the seagulls would come and eat the scraps from the plant. And what had happened is there was a whole generation of seagulls that didn't know how to feed themselves. They were dependent on the scraps from this plant in order to live. And when the plant closed, they didn't know how to fend for themselves. They didn't know how to get food for themselves. The same thing is true in the life of many Christians. They depend on grandpa and grandma. They depend on mom and dad. They depend on their husband or their wife. They depend on their preacher. And something happens, and they get separated from that one they're plugged into, and they lose the connection that they have with God through that person, and they quit, they fall into sin, They go down, 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 down into sin. So tonight, I end the same place I started. Where are you plugged in? Where are you plugged in? Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. We need to plug ourselves into Him. And again, thank God if you have godly parents. Thank God if you have a godly spouse. Thank God if you have a godly preacher. But do not depend on them for your power from God. You go right to the source. You go to the vine. You get plugged into God. And regardless of what happens to other people in your life, you stay plugged into God, the God that says, without me, you can do nothing. But with me, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us tonight that you are the vine and we are the branches. That we need to be plugged into you, not some other person. And again, we're so grateful for you putting godly people in our life, our parents, our spouses, our pastors. But Father, we can't depend on their power. We can't depend on their connection. We need to plug ourselves into you. We need to plug ourselves into the vine, because without him, we can do nothing. And I pray that you'll help every Christian here tonight to examine their life, to examine where they get the power, where they get the strength, where they get the determination, where they get the patience to keep running that race that you've given them to run. Father, help them make sure that they get it from you and not another person. And Father, I pray for those that might be here tonight that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Father, they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That's to be separated from you. But when Jesus went to the cross, you put on him all of our sin. And he paid for it. He paid the price that we owed. And because he did that, you can offer to every person not the wages of sin, which is death, but eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I pray if there's just one person here tonight that doesn't know Christ, that Holy Spirit, you've worked on them the past few minutes. You've helped them see their sin. You've helped them get a glimpse of the Savior. And you'll help them come tonight and receive him for themselves. I pray you bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to listen and to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.